or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, April the 21st, 2000. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Bob Trench from Durban, South Africa, is the speaker of the evening.
For behold, my children, my name is Jehovah Rapha. It is my great desire to heal you. It is my great desire to touch your lives. It is my great desire to turn you to me. It is my great desire that you should come to know me in a deeper way. So turn unto me with all your heart and with all your soul, and you shall find me. Seek me. Cry out unto me. For I am not a God far off, I am a God near. I am near unto you,
hallelujah,
and I will touch you. And I will
hallelujah
touch you with my spirit, and I will heal you and deliver you and set you on the path
hallelujah
to righteousness, that you might serve
hallelujah
me, that you might bear fruit in my kingdom.
Hallelujah.
So come unto me this night. Come unto me, for you are not here by accident. You are here because I have called you. You are here this night. So come unto me that I might touch you and heal you, saith the Lord.
I believe the Lord has spoken, and then we need to respond.
Yes.
It's no good the Lord speaking and we not responding. He said, I desire to heal you.
Mm-hmm.
That was God speaking. He says to you, I desire to heal you. He said, I'm not far away. I'm right here. Now, if you need a touch from the Lord, this is a pretty good time to come.
Yes.
In obedience to the Word of God.
Yes.
So I don't care what your sickness is. I'd like you to come forward now,
hallelujah,
and we'll pray for you.
He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely he bore my sorrow.
Come on, David.
Come forward.
By his stripes I am
healed.
He was wounded
for your transgression.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
Hallelujah. Kunda barasandi shikira barasandi.
And sorrow.
I am healed.
He was wounded for our transgression, and by his stripes I am healed.
The Word of God says the believer will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You notice there's no mention that the believer has to exercise faith, that he has to pray, that he has to do any spiritual gymnastics. The only gymnastic he's expected to do is take his hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and put his hand upon the sick, and they shall recover. Now I have a confession to make. I am a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I take his command seriously.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And those in leadership here, believers in Jesus Christ, you have the same command. You have the same hand.
Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, Mildred.
All you have
hallelujah
to do is put your hand upon the sick. You don't have to pray.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Very often our prayer gets in the road.
Hallelujah.
Because sometimes we don't know how we ought to pray, so we pray a Presbyterian prayer. Or a Baptist prayer. Or a Pentecostal prayer. The Bible does not say that. It says lay your hands upon them, and if you're expecting and you are moving with faith, healing is guaranteed.
Amen.
Not by Bob Trench. It is guaranteed by God himself through his word.
Yes.
Now when God speaks, there's one thing that always worried me. I go to meetings after meetings, and you have tongues, interpretations, and prophecies, and people don't respond. Because it's become a matter of old hat. Let me tell you. Those who want to be healed, just put your hand up now. And those who believe, just come put your hand upon them.
Hallelujah.
Don't pray, put your hand upon them.
Amen.
Put your hand upon them. And then move to the next one. And
Hallelujah,
the next
Lord.
One.
Come
on, John,
Lord.
Start.
Hallelujah, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Yes, receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial glow, there is peace, joy, and love. Where the healing waters flow, where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial flow, there is peace and joy and love. Where the healing waters flow, where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial flow, there is peace and joy and love. Where the healing waters flow, where the healing waters flow, where the joy celestial flow, oh, there's peace and joy and love. Where the healing waters flow, only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe. Only believe.
Say after me, God.
God.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I've received healing.
I received healing.
I will retain it.
I will retain it.
I will not let it go.
I will not let it go.
It's mine.
It's mine.
Forever.
Forever.
I rejoice. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
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 How many of y'all just got blessed? I want to thank Brother French for being obedient to the Holy Spirit and calling you to respond to the prophecy. When God speaks, you should respond. If you respond, He'll reach out and touch you. When a true prophecy comes forth, it calls for a response from the people. Unfortunately, as he said, in so many places, there are so many words that are given out of the flesh that it dulls the true prophecy when it comes forth.
Yes.
And you just say, ho-hum. But when a true word of God comes, if you respond, God will reach down from heaven and touch you. Because he's a God not far off.
He's a God close to near. He's within you and among you, and the kingdom is within you and among you, and it will reach out and touch you and heal you and change you. Praise the Lord. And when the Spirit came upon Saul, he became a new man. And when the Spirit comes upon you, you will become a new person in God. Deeper in the Spirit. Deeper in the Spirit. With a greater revelation and a greater healing and a greater understanding and a commitment to move forward. I just thank you, Lord God. And I thank you for an obedient servant. Lord, I thank you for him. This man has been a blessing to me. I just want to publicly thank him for the influence he's had upon my life, the blessing he's been to me. And I just want to thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending this man into my life. I just thank you and praise and bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of what happened here one time when we had the Catholic Diocese of Little Rock, of Arkansas here. They had 240-some young people here, and they had the power group from up at Minneapolis, St. Paul, had come, and they didn't know who the power group was. They were a bunch of spirit-filled young people, Catholic young people, and I mean the fire of God was through. And we were going down to Jack Harris's room. That reminds me, Brother Jack asked us to remember to pray for him. His sister died Wednesday morning, and otherwise he would have been here. And of course, he has to have had to have the funeral. Of course, he wouldn't have left if he hadn't have had. But last three camp meetings, two out of the three, he's had somebody in his family has died. So I said, pretty soon there won't be anybody left but Jack in the family. But anyway, the Lord's raising Jack up and restoring his health. Anyway, we'd been down to Jack's and came back, and the young priest come running out to the car when we drove up and said, you know what happened while you were gone? And of course, if you can think of somebody drowning or something happened, you know. And we said, well, no. How? He said, well, we were up in the upper room with all the fellows, and a wind came in up where you women are. He said, a wind came in there and knocked us all on the floor. He said, now, this is the Catholics. This is those old Catholics that don't have nothing. He said, did you ever hear of that? I said, well, sure, in Acts 2. He said, oh, really? Now, he's supposed to know, you know, but anyway. But there was a Catholic priest with it that was in charge, who was about 65 years old, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. And so that night I came over about 10:30 to be sure that the lights were all out and that they didn't leave, you know. And when I walked in the door here, and I guess it was later than that, it must have been around 11. When I walked in the door, all the chairs were stacked against the walls. There wasn't any chairs on here. And there was about 50-some kids laying all over the floor. Some of them were crying. Some of them were talking in tongues. Some of them wasn't doing nothing. Some of them was laughing and carrying on. And this young priest came up and he said, what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? I said, what do you mean, what are we going to do with them? He said, well, we can't leave them like this. I said, why not? And so I said, so don't worry about them. I said, after a while, if they don't come around, I said, we'll get some of the boys and we'll carry them up and roll them in their bunks. So about a little after 12 o'clock, there were still about a dozen of them that were just gone, you know. You could shake them, didn't make no difference. So I said, okay, it's time to put them to bed. Get some of the strong boys and two to a person, take them all up and roll them in their bunks. I said, they'll come around by morning. But I tell you, that was one Holy Ghost meeting with them Catholics. It was. Hermos, when in the full gospel, when the Catholics was getting the Holy Ghost, we've seen hundreds of them get the Holy Ghost. And Irma's mother would get so mad. She really did. She said, them old Catholics don't deserve to have the Holy Ghost. You know, that's tradition that we got to get rid of. Anyway,
The presence of the Lord is wonderful.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask for mercy. We ask for mercy and grace. For mercy and grace belongeth to God. Healing belongeth to God. Lord, we ask for an outpouring of your mercy and grace upon Irma now in the name of Jesus and upon Brother Glenn and Irma in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak healing to this body, Lord. Lord, we thank you for it. We ask you to bless her, Lord God. I hold up Irma as a life poured out, Lord God. Oh, Lord, she's been poured out, Lord God. She's been poured out for your kingdom, Lord God. I ask for mercy and grace now to send upon her, Lord God, and touch her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We break all the curses that have ever been spoken against her in the name of Jesus Christ. We say that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against her in condemnation we refute and refuse. This is the privilege of the saints of the Lord. Lord, we break all the curses against Irma that have come down through the family line in the name of Jesus. All curses that have come by disobedience, we intercede for our sister and we hold her up, Lord God, and we thank you for her, Lord. And we speak healing and restitution. We bind and destroying spirits that have been assigned to her in the name of Jesus. And we ask for mercy and for grace now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for her, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Speak the shalom of God to her. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just put our hands upon you in love. And we say, Lord, we presented to you. And everyone who ever came to you, you healed. So we come to you. And you are the Lord that never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, it's not how loud we pray, how often we pray, but this night we want to touch you. We want to know, Lord, that you've heard us. So we just humbly say, we're believers, and we've served to the best way we know how. And as believers, our hands are going to assist her this night, and we stand on the promise and the word that she shall now fully recover. So we speak into her being. Recovery, 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 recovery. Satan, I call upon you to take note of this, that you were defeated and you cannot withhold a believer obedient to the living God. So you are now defeated once again. And we say to you, have nothing to do with this circumstance. We separate you from them and we loose you out of this thing. And we bind her to Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I say to you, my children, this night I have reached down in response to obedience to my word, obedience to my command. I have touched you. I have touched each one who came forth in faith, each one who came forth believing, each one that sought me with all their heart. I have touched you, and you shall see the change in your lives. So know this day that I have touched you. Look forward, not back. Be not like Lot's wife who looked back, but look forward. Look forward and move forward, and yea, you shall see the deliverance of your Lord. People, that means don't look at the circumstances. You know something? If the circumstances don't line up with the Word of God, there's something wrong. You perceive in the circumstances. No, look at that. Look at God and His promises. And His promises. Yes. Praise God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 For He's given you everything. Hallelujah. For life and godliness in His promises, that you might be the partakers of the divine nature. As you look forward and you claim His promises in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will pour out into you the divine nature. And you can move forward in that and you can claim it. and the kingdom of God will be manifested in your life, saith the Lord.
Well, it's time for Brother Bob to come up here and preach, lecture, teach, whatever the Spirit of the Lord brings by. Okay. Thank you. Come, Brother Bob.
All right.
Amen.
Oh, a number of years ago, I was invited to speak in the Pennsylvania Legislative Assembly. The Republicans were the... That help, didn't it? She even made me change my socks tonight. Because I had brown socks, and you said they don't go. I said, well, who's going to see them? Well, I'm going to have another crack at this. Anyway, I got to the... I think it's Harrisburg is the capital of Pennsylvania, or a name like that. And the Republican Party caucus had asked me to come and speak in the assembly. Now, it is considered one of the best assembly halls in the world. It's in the top 10. And when you're inside, it's the most wonderful, almost building you've ever seen. And all around it are scriptures in gold. Marvelous. You know, righteousness exalted the nation. And all those kind of things. But unfortunately for me, I came 2 weeks after a certain bishop from South Africa who is a one-worlder and a New Age person had been there. So when I arrived, I was getting heckled. Now, I can handle heckling. I rather enjoy it, to be quite frank. But there's, you know, you've got to draw the line somewhere. And this was going on a bit, and I could tell in my old nature there was something rearing up. And I knew... it's no good me getting into confrontation here. And just like tonight, if you hear something from the Lord, take the high road. Do it. And as clear as a bell, I heard from the Lord, he said, would you like me to demonstrate my power in this place? Clear as that. I said, well, and I was quite honest with the Lord. I said, if you want to demonstrate your power, I'd be delighted. Because I'm losing my temper. And then I looked and there was a man sitting back. And it was very clear he had a withered arm. And the Lord gave me his address and his name. I said, you, and I forget the name, but I mentioned his name. And I said, you live in so-and-so. And you're full of anger and bitterness. But God will demonstrate his power towards you. And then... you need to get rid of all that anger in you. And I said, stretch forth your hand. Well, I tell you, if you do that in a worldly place like that, you better have your running shoes on. There's part of me that said it won't work here. I mean, we hadn't taken an offering. We hadn't sung a song. Nobody had read a scripture. And guess what? I don't think he stretched forth his arm. I think God pulled it. It went zips like that, and he screamed. When I tell you he screamed, he went, yah, loud like that. Then I looked, people fell off the chairs all over the place. Some people laughed, you know, like we saw here. They carried on a bit. The man who took me, his name was Bob Smith, he lay down in front of where I was talking the whole time. I don't know what he was doing down there. He didn't look very good. But how do you know I had their attention? The Democratic Party, who at that time had boycotted this meeting where I was speaking, but they'd send in a team of four men just to fire questions. How many know there's no questions? When God moves, it's beyond the understanding of man, and it silences the critics for a while. Only for a while. I want to tell you, I've never been invited back. I don't know why. Never been invited back. I thought they'd have me back. I believe after that everything went well. You know, when I come to the United States as a missionary to the business and the political people, I've been doing that for so many years now, I even forget when it started and how it started. And I've seen a tremendous change, some for the good, and unfortunately, a fair amount that's, to me, not so good. But there's a warfare going on. Now, everything that happened the other night has to do with warfare. You may have enjoyed it. It might have been funny. It might have been hilarious. It might have been even miraculous for you. It might have been deliverance for you. But let me assure you, there are two kingdoms at war. To put it quite bluntly, they're at each other's throat. We sang a chorus here in the beginning, which was, go to the enemy's camp and take back what he's taken from you. I want to tell you a story that happened just a few years ago on an international level where one nation went back and took back what has been stolen from them and started a revival in two nations. How many know this book, the Bible, is not outdated?
Amen.
It's the religious people that make it out of date.
Right. Right.
But things are happening every day.
Yeah.
One thing that bugs me about religion, they're always dealing with the past, and they're always dealing with the future, but they're jolly weak on the now.
Amen.
If you want to know if you're listening to a religious person, if he's in the past, and he's in the future, and he never touches the now, you can write him off as a religionist. How many understand what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
Well, not so long ago, Britain had a colony down in the South Atlantic called the Falkland Islands. And that's been a bone of contention for some considerable time. Now, why in the world we want that island, I have no idea. There's two or three little islands. They got no value. They got about 1,000 sheep. And as far as I know, there's not much there, except there's a rumor there's a lot of oil around there. True or not, I have no idea. But the Argies, we call them the Argies, the Argentinians, they went down there and occupied our land. How many of that doesn't fit very well with British people? We didn't like that at all. And fortunately for us, we had a Prime Minister by the name of Mrs. Thatcher, and she didn't like it either. So we gave them so many days or weeks to get out of the place, otherwise we'd come in to kick them out. They didn't think we could come kick them out because they're so far away, and I'm sorry to say, they'd had a look at the other Western nations who pussyfooted around, but let me tell you, we're not pussyfooting around when it comes to British subjects. The word British, by the way, means covenanted sons. The Hebrew word is Brit, Bri, and Ish is son or man. So we're covenanted men, and we come from a covenanted land. We have the covenant stone in the island that goes right back to Jacob, that Ephraim, that we now the tribe of Ephraim, perhaps, that Jeremiah brought there. Our most prized possession is that stone. And here we got way down the South Atlantic. They put 80,000 troops on those two little islands. So we mustered 2,000 men. They put a major in charge of the British contingent. A Scotsman, fortunately. There'll always be an England while there's a Scotland, let me tell you. He was a Christian. He was actually a member of the Businessmen's Fellowship. And the world wondered, when we're going to get there? Well, the first thing that happened, we had to find some ships to get the men down there. We got the Queen Elizabeth II, the QE2, and we had to turn in a troop ship. It took a little while to do, and off we sailed. Mrs. Thatcher got good publicity. She stood on the harbour and waved goodbye, and they played God Save the Queen and waved the flags, and she knew she was going to win the next election. Because there was sort of a fervor. But there, when they got in the Atlantic, it seemed as though those ships were sailing at about quarter steam. All we guys wanted to put full steam, let's get there. People were volunteering from Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, all over the world, Canada, everywhere. We want to get them out of that place. But those ships took their time. Let me tell you why. That major, he went from ship to ship and preached the gospel, told them about Jesus Christ, and warned them that some of them may not come back to Britain alive, and they need to get right. And so he was holding evangelical services on board ships. That's why he gave the order, quarter steam. Give him time to reach them all. When they got there, it didn't take very long. They got back the islands, and he was able to send a telegram to Her Majesty the Queen and said, "We've got back what the enemy stole from the crown." Maybe you'd like to know one of the things that happened. You see, the gifts of the Holy Ghost are not meant just to be in a meeting. Here's a man faced a problem. He's got 2,000 men against nearly 85,000 men in total. Fully armed, dug in good defensive positions. They cleaned one island up fairly easily, but when they got to the main island, where they were expecting more difficulties, he prayed and the Lord said, "You need to walk up to them and tell them they need to surrender now." Being a Scotsman, he got a bagpiper. You can't do much without a bagpiper in our part of the world. I don't know what it is, but he got this bagpiper, and the two of them walked across no man's land, and they got to the general, the Argentinian general, and they said to him, "We sure you don't want any casualties on your side, and we don't want to inflict any casualties on your side, so if you'll surrender and you put all your weaponry there, then your men can march that side, and they will be protected. And in the morning, we'll be there." Early next morning, they put the men there. I think it was like 100 men. And the Argentinians filed out, surrendered. Then something funny happened. "We've now got the island back, but the Argentinian government said, we're not having the troops back. We're not going to let them walk around our streets, letting society know that we've lost the islands." That gave the major a problem, so I guess being a good Christian, what'd he do? He started evangelizing the Argentinians. And who did he use? The soldiers. Who were brand new converts. And he gave each one something like, I think it was, I forget how it worked out, something like 700 men, Argentinians. Every man was given a congregation of over 700 men. And he himself was 2 weeks in the Lord. The result of that, the result of that is this, that a revival is going on in England in the military circles. And the Argentinian revival has been exploding ever since those people got back. When God works, you can't see it. At first, it looks like a mess. But out of all that, the Church of Jesus Christ is stronger. I want you to know that when God works, it doesn't matter about the circumstances. He can take any set of circumstances, if you will give it to Him in faith, and turn it around to His advantage. When it says all things work together for good, to them that love the Lord, that doesn't mean to say it's going to be for your good, incidentally, but it will be for the good of the kingdom. And if you're attached to the kingdom, yeah, it's okay. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? But as a missionary to America, I need to tell you about the difficulties of reaching you natives. You go to a shop, a store, and you want to have a cookout or a barbecue. And so you want to have hot dogs. This is what happens. You have to buy hot dogs that are in the packages of 10, but the buns come in packages of 8. Yes. Right or wrong? Right. Why? Only in America will a pizza man deliver pizza to your front door before the ambulance can get to you. I'm telling you. That's how it works over here. Only in America do the drugstores make the sick people walk to the back of the shop to get the medicine, and the healthy people go to the front to buy the cigarettes. That's only in America. I've never seen it anywhere else. Only in America do you natives buy double cheeseburgers, large packets of chips, and then you order a Diet Coke. Only in America do the banks leave both doors open, but they chain the pens to the counter. Why? What the faintest idea? Now this I found, and I couldn't believe it. We drove into a drive-in bank, an ATM, and they have instructions in English and in Braille. No wonder you have so many accidents. Got all these blind people driving. Now you got road signs that you must never ever believe. Whatever the road signs say, don't do it. It's dangerous. You got one sign. It's everywhere. In every state we've seen it. It says, watch for falling rock. We've parked our car many times. The rock never falls. The signs lie. We went to Washington, D.C., and we got on this beltway. And right across the beltway, there's a big sign that says, use all lanes. Try it. Just try it. You'll kill yourself. You gotta go this lane, that lane, and when they stop, you're gonna say, the sign says use all the lanes. You got another sign that we can't understand. You went across the street, there's a sign that says don't walk. What are you supposed to do? Jump, run, skip? It just says, don't walk. Well, you can do anything else as long as you don't walk. You're the only people in the world that drive in the parkways. Then you park in the driveways. You're crazy. Now I've got to come here as a missionary. I've got to start right at the basics. But the worst thing is when you want to go to a restaurant. Shocking. Being a Scotsman, I like to support McDonald's. But it's too embarrassing. Because at the door, it says this. You can only come in if you've got a shirt and a pair of socks on. I refuse to go to pornographic places. I'm going to wear my pants. I don't care what happens. Don't believe the signs in America. So when I couldn't get the food in McDonald's, I took my wife, Thelma, and we went to a better restaurant, more uppity-up, an Irish one. That was even more difficult. Because there's a sign when you walk in that says, wait for hostess to be seated. Well, she's so busy, she never sits down. She's the busiest woman in the place. Then she comes to you, believe it, then she walks over to you, looks you in the eye and says, how many of you are there? And then she says, walk this way. Well, by the time you get to the table, you need a chiropractor. Then you get to the table. Then she says, would you like a seat? You feel like saying, no, let me stand. Then she says, would you like a menu? You say, no, let me guess what you got. And then, the last thing that just about blows my mind, she says, I recommend the chef's salad. Well, I want to know what's he going to eat if I eat his salad. Very hard. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. I'm going to ask Thelma to come up. I'm going to read a little piece of poetry. How many stories are you going? As we travel around the world, nation by nation, they always will ask us to give a testimony of how we came to know the Lord and all that kind of thing. Well, it gets old hat, you know, and we had to find a way around that. So I wrote a piece of poetry which covers that last bit. And it reads, it's entitled We Remember. Now, if you cannot remember, then you have no testimony. How many agree with that? That's why the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come to what? Call all things so that you'll have a testimony. If you've got no memory, you've got no? If you've got a poor memory, you've got a? So when I hear people say, man, I can't remember anything more, something wrong with you. Let the Holy Ghost bring all things to your remembrance and your testimony will be more powerful. So it's entitled, We Remember. Time holds memories, and memories we have got. It's been 46 years since we tied that knot.
It was a marriage made in heaven. We still believe it, yet we owe it to each other, the vows we'll ne'er forget.
Years find a way of creeping by, you know, but we're so proud of what we've got to show.
Who'd ever thought when we made that vow we would be as happy as we are right now?
One Norwegian peach, you won't believe the next, latched onto a Scot she soon found to be the very best.
He won her heart, she took his name. Little did we know, for children we had to gain.
They've stepped on our toes, and sometimes on our hearts. But the love we have for them, no words can ever impart.
They gave us 7 grandchildren, all special and charming. 4 boys and 3 girls, each one a darling.
Now all this we remember, and the cottage, and the store. Now who could wish for anything more?
45 years may seem to some like eternity. We may look for 45 years or more, but we still take life as in the days of yore.
Together we spread the seed so others may live forevermore.
Our happiness knows no bounds over one sinner who is found. We reach out by faith in Jesus' name.
Did you know this world's fame for some will end in flame? One more time, tonight, we, Jesus, proclaim. When the Holy Spirit moves like He graciously did this evening, you can have all sorts of things planned and all kinds of things you could teach. But it kind of leaves you that you don't want to upset anything that he still may want to do. And so I'm trying to be as open to the leading and the prompting of the Lord as I know. And I have in my mind right now 3 or 4 different ways that I could go. And every one of them could be pretty lengthy. So it is now, what is it now? Just 9 o'clock, is that about right? So I don't know what time we scheduled to finish, so I have no idea. But what I do remember, once I got introduced at a world convention, an evening meeting by Dimas Shakarian, who is the founder of a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And in a typical American fashion, he said to me, and he said to everybody, he said, now, Brother Trench, we want you to feel free. Just be led of the Holy Ghost. Take your time. And I mean, I was feeling good, you know. And then as he turned away, as he walked away, I heard him say, we're all leaving at 9:30. So, yeah, you're lucky I got on at about 9:25. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you eating from the floor or are you eating from the table? In Luke 16, verses 19 and 31 to 31... is a story of two beggars. Two beggars. One was extremely poor, and the other was extremely rich. But they were both beggars. One was called Lazarus, and he begged for bread in this present world. And the other one is known as the rich man, and he begged for water in the other world. So they were both beggars, but none of them needed to beg. See, Lazarus' statement was all he needed was a few crumbs from the rich man's table. He saw his immediate needs as being a few crumbs. What do you see your immediate need as? A few crumbs? How many of those? Plenty of crumbs. Especially around Pentecostal meetings where they're messy. They spill things, drop things, and you can pick up all sorts. But there's also offered you a decent meal, full provision. One of the nice things about serving Jesus Christ is there's no limit. Once you come to know Jesus Christ, all limitations have been removed. I go to a number of prisons. I don't know how this works out, but when you go to a place, you could be staying in a palace, you're with the top echelon of society, but for some reason they get the idea that I'd be pretty good in prison ministry. What they don't know, I don't like prison ministry. You know when those doors go clang? Man, it's like doomsday. I just hope they remember I'm in there and I'm not one of them and I'm going to get out. I don't like those places, but they make you go there. But I noticed something, especially the prisons in America. Now, prisons in Africa are one thing. Prisons in Britain are another thing. But prisons in America, I'm surprised they don't put the name Hilton up. Now let me tell you what happens. Why do we pity a man that's in prison when he gets good quality food free? A nutritionist works out a balanced diet. They can even run a business from the prison. We know of one man who did that so successfully that he was a millionaire from prison. He doesn't have to worry about buying clothes. They give him clothes. He doesn't have to worry about income tax even. If he needs a trade or anything, they'll give it to him. He's got TV. He's got a bed. He doesn't have to do the laundry. And yet we feel sorry for him. Why in the world do we feel sorry for a person who seems to have all those things that you and I struggle sometimes to get? I'll tell you why we feel sorry for him. Because he's got limitations. The first limitation is the clothes they give him, he can't decide he doesn't want that color. And when he's getting carrots on Wednesday, he can't say he wants cabbage. He'll get carrots. And so what we're actually saying is the poor guy's limited. Did you know that when you're a prisoner, Satan puts limits on you? And even when you become a Christian, he wants to put a limit on you. Let me tell you an experience we had in this country. A large denomination, Pentecostal, came one day to see me, and they said, "We've noticed where you go and what you're doing, and there's no doubt you're an apostle. How do you know you've got to watch out when people pay you compliments?" And they built me up a little bit and made me feel good. And he said, "Now what we have decided in the board, we'd like you to be our apostle." That sounded all right. I said, "What's the conditions? What's the boundaries?" "Oh, nothing. Being Scottish, listen to what I heard. We will let you travel the world and we'll pay for all your traveling costs." First thing I said, "This must be God." I said, "What about my hotel accommodation?" "We'll cover that too." I said, "Can I speak to anybody and any group that invite me?" "Yes." I said, is there anything, any restrictions? And it made me think like a little Jewish boy the way they responded. Well, you know, with all the money that we were giving you, we got to have a little control, you know. The little control was that I had to then toe the party line of doctrine. Now, I happen to agree with their doctrine. I don't see anything wrong with their doctrine. But the problem was, I said, then what happens if I get a new revelation next week? They said, well, you can't teach it. How many know I could see my free air tickets going, my free lunch going? I said, now what happens if you want me one place and somebody, and the Lord tells me to go to another place? They said, well, seeing we're paying you, you have to give us preference. You see, they thought they were going to do me a great big favor. Amen. But I suddenly found out they were going to put me in bondage to them.
Right.
Now, when somebody comes to you and says, brother, sister, I want you to be our representative, or I want you to be our Bible teacher, let's say, now you look somebody that I could really deal with. Now, I need you in our fellowship. You join us. We'll make you the prophetess, and you can get up every Sunday morning, and you can prophesy all over us. And you can say what you like. We'll agree with it. Now, straight away, she's going to think she's been given great freedom. But one day, she's going to come to me and say, well, now I feel the Lord wants me to go around the corner and prophesy in that group. Can you see the problem? And I say, wait a moment. You belong to us. You see, you got to watch out. You see, when these things come, at first they look good. But if you're not careful, they bind you up.
Right.
There's one church, one head, one body, and your job and my job in coming days is to discern.
Right.
If you can't do that, coming days are going to be tough for you. So I'm saying you need to come out from under the table. There's a table being prepared for you. You come and eat. I don't know of one limitation. Let me tell you a little story. I got born again on a soccer field. So I had nothing to do with church. I got baptized as a baby in the Presbyterian church and the Anglican church. My mother being Anglican and my dad Presbyterian. So they figured that one of them would take. Then I got confirmed in both, but nothing took. And I told my mother, I'm not going to church anymore, it's hopeless. And she says, okay, because if you die, they'll bury you. If you want to get married, they'll marry you. So she felt she'd done her duty. And just to make sure that everything was kosher, my parents sent me to a Roman Catholic school. So I'm a pretty good religionist. But nothing worked. Then after that soccer game, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And then suddenly, all hell broke loose. I was not living a good life, but I could go to any of the Anglican or Presbyterian church and take communion. I could cheat, do all sorts of things, and I was open to take communion because I was confirmed. But the moment I got born again, spoke in tongues, they told me I couldn't take communion. It's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? I'm serving the devil over here. I'm cursing, swearing, mocking. And now I'm trying to get my life straight. And the first thing they said to me, you can't take communion. How do you like that? And I was that dumb. I was that new. I said, how come I can't... I didn't know you're not supposed to argue with those in authority. Thank God. I said, how come you're telling me that when all those... And I named them. They're sleeping with women all around town. And some of the girls are in the church. Yeah, but they don't speak in tongues. Oh. Well, guess what? Eventually, I got to a Pentecostal church. You think it's any different?
No.
The thing that nearly caused me to stumble was, yeah, I'm getting my life in order. I'm having this wonderful experience with the Lord Jesus, and I meet these fellows that I knew in the world who are leading double lives. They get up, testify Sunday morning, and the church says, Amen, hallelujah, praise God, wonderful young people. But I knew where they were. What do you think had happened to what the devil said to me? You see, it doesn't work. Let me tell you, if you're saying one thing and living something else, you are causing people to stumble. You will cause people to stumble, especially the young ones in the Lord. That's when you're eating crumbs. Maybe I should tell you what happens when you eat off the table. Because of my glorious religious experiences, I never had a Bible. Because everybody I knew that owned a Bible never knew the Lord. But every morning when I woke up after my conversion, Jesus was sitting at the end of my bed. And I used to wake up and say, Good morning, Lord, and he'd say good morning to me. And then he'd talk to me. Now let me tell you how he spoke to me, with thoughts. And that would go on for 10, 15, 20 minutes every morning. I thought that that's every night he sat there and watched over me. The rest I didn't even think about. I was just in love with him. Can you imagine, after about 6 months of that, I bought a Bible. You know why I bought a Bible? Because every time I spoke to somebody, they always dug in a Bible and could outsmart me somewhere. So I thought, I'd better get one of these books and see how it works. And when I bought one of these books, I was amazed to discover that what he'd been teaching me was in here. You know why I can believe the Bible? Because I heard from him first. I didn't get this first and then go to him. He taught me first and then I found out it was all in here. Now I tried to read this book, by the way, before I was a Christian. And I was appalled. I got you start in the beginning in the book of Genesis and I got a place where it says he begat and she begat and they begat and he begat and they begat and everybody was begatting. I threw these bunch of sex maniacs in here. I just shut the book. But Jesus, when he came into my life, I began to eat off the table. I didn't have to have crumbs. You don't have to have crumbs. When you eat off the table, you get revelation. You know what the church needs? Revelation. You know what the church is built on? Revelation. You know what strengthens you? You know what gives you courage? See, if God tells you, and God shows you, it doesn't matter what Bill says or Bob says or Glenn says or John says, it doesn't matter. Because you've heard from whom? You've heard from the King. But once you've heard from the King, you have no problems. Let me tell you what happens. I joined this, but I was part of this big Pentecostal church in Durban. And I'm going back, way back, many, many years ago. By the way, there are some good things in a Pentecostal church. There's one of them. She's now taking my watch. Oh, okay. I was going to have a look at it to see if I got near the 9:30, so... Okay. All right, okay. So, the church was going to expand, and they got a building committee. Because I was in the building industry, I think they thought I was going to help them quite a lot, so they invited me on as building committee. That was the worst thing they ever did. I got on the committee and I took everything very seriously. So I was praying and asking God what we should do and what should I be doing, how could I help. And it's one day I was just driving along going to a building site and the word of the Lord came to me. God spoke to me and he said, that church will never be built, don't waste your time. Well, I thought, when you've heard the Lord a number of times, you know his voice. There's no doubt it was God speaking to me. So I couldn't wait for the next building fund meeting, committee meeting. And incidentally, my future father-in-law was in that committee as well. So you know there's trouble on the horizon, don't you? So they opened in prayer and they read the minutes of the previous thing and I couldn't wait. I said, just a moment, I've got to say something. I said, I was driving along the road and God came and he said, look, chaps, don't worry, don't work at this. This church is never going to be built. God's not in it. Whoa. 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 They went crazy. We actually had to leave the church. Because they would from the pulpit say, Bob Trench has no faith. Bob Trench is against us. Bob Trench is hearing voices. I mean, I knew who I'd heard from. How many now? Now everybody's against you. So they buy the land. They demolish the old buildings. They laid the foundation. Everybody, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here, Lord? They've got window heights. And I thought, well, boy, I'm going to have to apologize. I was wondering how you do that when you know you've heard from God. I was in turmoil. And then in the newspaper one morning, there's a big front line, rezoning of Durban. A new four-way highways to go right up the west coast, right up the western side of Africa, right up to Johannesburg. And this church is slap bang in the middle of it. Now I thought they're going to come and say to me, Brother, you were right. Thank you very much. Sorry we didn't listen to you. Guess what they said the next Sunday morning? He spoke it into existence. You can't win, man. You cannot win when you deal with religious people. How many know that? If you've got any religion in you, you need to go and do a handstand somewhere and let it all get out. See, Jesus came to give you life, and life more abundantly. You've had a good time here tonight. You're all smiling. You don't look like Christians that I know. You're not supposed to laugh so much, man. What limit have you got? Somebody says, I want you to go and pray for the sick. You say, oh, I don't do that. I asked one fellow to come and take over a radio show for me while I was away on this trip. By the way, I run a radio show in South Africa called BBC, Bob's Business Corner. The BBC in England, silly boys, they never registered the initials BBC. So I got them registered. I get on right before the news, everybody thinks they're tuning in to BBC. And it's me. Then I have fun. Lead people to the Lord. It's a live show. It's when they're going home from work and Hindus and, just about anybody you can think of phones in. Fights and arguments, but every now and again somebody gives their heart to the Lord. The religious people are trying to close it down. But guess what happens to the worldly people? They ride in. No, in some of the language they use and some of the things they say are not all that complimentary. You know, goes, you miserable basket, and, you know, those kind of words. And how dare you call me a sinner, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's fun. And you reach people. Reach people. If I tell you some of the things we did, you'd be shocked. Bill was in New Zealand, and I need to tell him a little story about New Zealand. I'm going to some town in New Zealand, I forget where it was, about 3 weeks before I'm due there, this man phoned me and he said, I don't know what's happened. He said, but we've got nobody coming to the meeting. So he said, I think we must cancel. I said, no. Don't cancel. What I want you to do is go to the opera house and hire the opera house and advertise a one-man comedian show. And every day, put a little advert in about, you know, laugh till your tummy aches, laugh till the tears flow. Little pieces, not very expensive, just put them in. Because what I do know is the world loves to have some fun. Did you know that if you're happy, you'll attract people? You'll attract them. You know why sometimes we don't attract people? We're not too happy. If we are, we're not going to let anybody know. Well, anyway, they did that. When we got there to the place, Thelma was with me, they were all excited but all worried. I think the opera house seated about 700 people, and they had about 300 people in the place. There was still half an hour to go, and they wanted to know how they're going to entertain them. They were looking for somebody to sing a solo or a duet, you know, that sort of stuff. I said, not an opera house. Not to these people who responded on the paper. How can you expect unsaved people to sing worship songs to God? They're his enemy, and he's going to be their judge. They got no relationship yet. Say, just leave it. Let me get up there. How many know they found it very difficult? And then they said, well, how are we going to pay for all this? I said, well, I gave a commitment, and I'm Scottish. I'll figure a way to get the money out of them. That night, how do you know when you talk to unsaved people about you? First, I gave them a good, best I knew how. I gave them 3/4 an hour, comedian show. A little bit like we did earlier on. How do you know they loved it? Yep. Now, people love you because they're having a good time with you. So then when I talk about Jesus, there's no barrier between us. And so I said, those who want to have a new life in Jesus, I want you to come up here. Come, and I meant come and stand in front of the platform, you see. And I'm standing in a Scottish kilt and the whole thing, you know, to make it all go down well. And but those people don't understand. They've never been to churches before, so they don't know anything about this. They all came up on a platform. I mean, there were that many people on the platform that there were still people waiting to come up. That's how many people we prayed for that night. Now, I said to them, what you do now, you get all their names and addresses and you write to them. And you have another function. The real problem was they did that, but I wasn't there. And they had kind of a religious meeting. How do you know that when you present Jesus, you don't have to get religious? You don't have to get religious. Not at all. Not at all. See, we've got to get rid of the limits. Did you notice tonight that when God speaks and you just do what he says, things happen? The Bible says faith comes from hearing the word of God. Did you know that most people are operating in presumption? Not operating in faith. You can't operate in faith until you've heard from God. Now, we've been in the camp a couple of days already. What's God said to you? If he hasn't spoken to you yet, then you can't go and walk in faith. How many agree with that? You can go and walk in tradition, you can walk in religion, you can walk in presumption, but you will not walk in faith. Because you first got to get the word, then you act upon the word. See, people say faith is like a leap into the dark. Rubbish. God doesn't expect us to jump into the dark. We should jump into the light. And the word is light. So perhaps tonight you should say, God, I want you to speak to me. How do you know that God is speaking to you, but you don't recognize his voice? You notice how Thelma keeps me under control? Because I know her voice. When she calls me Robert, I'm in trouble. One of you guys has told her something about me you shouldn't. But when it's Bob, we're okay. But Robert, I know there's problems. But it's also the tone of her voice. When I'm ministering, I often hear the Lord clear his throat. When he goes, I know I've got to back off. I'm getting carried away. I remember one night I got carried away. I was talking about getting close to the Lord and the coming glorious day, and I was getting carried away. The first part of the meeting had been wonderful, but then I got blessed, and so I'm going. I don't care whether you were getting blessed or they were. I'm having a good time, see? And I got the part where I said, and it won't be long, and as we're approaching the glory, and as we're getting towards the heavenly city, suddenly in the distance you'll hear the bagpipes. And there was a guy in the background, he said, oh, hang, we're going in the wrong direction. And I couldn't pick it up. I started to giggle and laugh, and I knew what had happened. Bob Trench had got carried away. And it was not of God, I just got carried away, and God brought me up short. That never happens to you, does it? You never get carried away. No. No. So tonight, we just had fun. I hope you know that. I haven't done any teaching. What's the point of teaching when God's done his work here? But you have had fun. And you have learned something. Have you learned something? What did you hear? Yeah.
I just noticed the Lord made for early in the morning and late at night. And I have
had
doubts about it. Now I
know
it's him. He's here. And he
blessed me. Well, that's a pretty good...
And when you said that, I knew it was Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give her a hand. I think that's great, man. A guy with a big Bible and a long notebook like that. What have you heard tonight?
Well, I've heard that I need to hear more.
Okay. You, I think you just skirted closely there. What notes you got there? Anything from me there? Let me read one. Read something to me I said there.
Well, the now.
That hit you.
Right.
That hit you between the eyes. Okay, now this chap, see how he refuses to look in my direction? He's pretending I'm not here, see? What did you hear tonight?
When the Lord speaks, he expects you to respond.
Hallelujah. Okay. I'm coming to the back row because these are the guys that think the Holy Spirit doesn't come this far back. What have you heard tonight?
I heard you can't win with the religious spirit.
Good. You know, I'm getting quite blessed. People actually listen. And you've taken your shoes and your socks off, and you're still awake. Okay, what did you hear tonight?
What did I hear?
Yeah.
I heard you respond when God called.
Good. You believe he's called you?
Yes.
Have you responded?
Yes.
Okay. That means you're going to respond every day?
Every day.
You're going to respond. That's super. Okay. You're sorry you came, I suppose.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I know. What did you hear? Oh, we are.
I really don't trust people that are religious.
Good.
Yes.
See, Jesus said, let nobody deceive you, and religion's full of deception. Deception. Now, no, I saw you dancing there. I'm not going to ask you one question.
Okay.
But what did you hear?
Oh, I heard if you do what I say, when I say, I shall bless you, Father.
Hallelujah. See that man over there?
Yes, that's just, the guy who bless.
Just take your leg up, say it, and see. God's blessed him and his socks came off. Well, I think we've got to bring this thing to an end somehow. let me just close with this. You see, things are not what you think they are. It goes like this. In England, they have a train service that's unique. Every train, you sit facing one another. So some people have their back to the direction you're going, and some people are facing. And on this occasion, there was a grandmother with a 16-year-old daughter sitting in a chair. The train pulled into the station, and an old general got in with about a 22-year-old lieutenant and sat opposite grandma and a granddaughter. And being British, you don't speak to people unless you're introduced, so they just sat looking. The train took off and was trundling along. You got grandma, the granddaughter, and opposite you got the old general, you got the young lieutenant. And suddenly the train went into a tunnel. It was pitch black. And there was a sound of a resounding kiss, followed immediately by a smack. And the train came out in the light, and the general is rubbing his cheek. And grandma thinks, that dirty old general, he's kissed my granddaughter. But good for her, she's given him one. The granddaughter's thinking, gee, that dirty old general, he kissed grandma. But grandma's given him one. Good for her. The general's thinking, gee, this young lieutenant's kissed that young girl, and she's hit me by mistake. The young lieutenant's saying to himself and thinking, this is wonderful. I kissed the back of my hand, slapped the general, I got away with it. And I think I got away with everything tonight. Okay. Just close your eyes. Did you know that happiness and joy is like medicine to the whole body? So you've been drinking some spiritual medicine here tonight, and in the process, when the world gives you medicine, as the doctor over there knows, the worse it tastes, the better it's supposed to be for you. But in the kingdom of God, the happier you are, the nicer it tastes, the better it does for you. So let's thank him. Close your eyes. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this new life. We thank you for glory that's coming. We thank you that we're together tonight. We thank you our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you that our name is in the Book of Remembrance before you. And we believe tonight, Lord, we've had some medicine to all our body. We thank you for that. We bless you for it. Now, Lord, we acknowledge that you have put no limitations upon us. So help us to walk in the freedom that you've set us free in. And now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, may his peace and his joy rest and abide with you from now until he returns. Amen. 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 And everybody said to one another, I'm glad you were here. Say that.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.